bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Now on. Okay.
We are fortunate, you may be seated. We are fortunate that we can celebrate openly, still in this country, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I can't help but think of those in the Ukraine. This is not the Easter they would have wanted. But nonetheless, they seem to be dealing with it. And some way, somehow, I hope the Lord blesses those people on this Easter Sunday. Also, you keep hearing about the senseless violence, right? The subway shootings in New York. Some 15 people, I think, were shot total. This morning, I got a feed on the news feed that said there was a shooting in the Wax Museum in Hollywood. And then, of course, we know about the mall down in South Carolina. Listen, it's okay. There will be no peace unless people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, evil is going to keep on going and get worse. So as we pray this morning, my prayer is this, that this church, along with other like-minded churches, would, by the Holy Spirit, have a renewed passion to share the gospel in love with others. So that means, you know, we have to kind of get out of our own comfort zones mm-hmm. and our own cliques and mingle with people again.
Yeah.
Right? It's been 2.5 years so far, you know, since COVID. Thank God you're all well. I'm glad for that. However, the church still has to be the church. And that's my prayer. So let's pray together. Father, as we get ready to celebrate with friends and families the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do count our blessings that we're still in a country that is free to worship. We count our blessings that our town and cities haven't been bombed by an invader. And yet, Father, in acknowledging how you bless us, we need to pray for the people of the Ukraine, that somehow today, for those who are Christ followers in the Ukraine, you would bless them in a special way. Father, these people are brave people along with their leader. So we pray that this conflict might come to an end soon, and there be less bloodshed. So, Father, be with the families who lost people through the atrocities that were put forth by Russia. And, Father, I pray for the people in the subway who were injured, the people at Charlotte Mall, Columbia, in the mall in Columbia, who were injured or killed in the shootings. And Father, now this latest shooting in Hollywood, Father, this is all senseless stuff. Some of it's gang wars and power struggles over drugs. Some of it, Father, is just plain selfishness, greed, and evil. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we lift up those families that have been impacted by these acts of evil and ask that you would comfort them. Pray for those in the hospitals who are recovering, that, Father, not only would you heal them physically, but emotionally and spiritually also. So, Father, we give this to you today. And, Father, last but not least, thank you. Thank you that the grave is empty. Thank you that our Lord Jesus lives.
Yes.
And thank you that because he lives, we can face tomorrow.
Yep.
And so, Father, be pleased with the remainder of our worship. And I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Kristen, you're right behind me. Good. Chip's going to introduce this, but we're doing the song you may have learned in Vacation Bible School or Sunday School, right? It's a great song. If you know the motions to it, do it. Okay? Yeah. Oh, before we do that, so the trustees don't hang me after the service, we're gonna wait upon you for the offering. So for those helping with that, I need those right there. Thanks, Chip. Chip's saying, Butch. That's what happens when you get up too early.
You sound like my wife. RJ,
let's pray.
Andrew, Chip.
Father, we pray that the offering is acceptable to you, and help us to be good stewards so we can further the gospel in our area, throughout the county, throughout the states, and even around the world. We thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. It already belongs to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Naomi, you going to come up and help with the hand jive? Oh, come on. Come on. All right, Bonnie, come on up. Okay. If you know the hand jive, join right in, everybody. Yeah, likely story. All right. All right, so he came to earth to pay for our sins. He thwarted Satan and sent him reeling. Just like I just did to my guitar, ow. He is my Savior, my protector, wise counselor, my God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, maker of the universe, who died so we can be free. Lord, I lift your name. Now you know it. Lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. job, everybody. Okay. So Jesus, have a seat, folks. Have a seat. So Jesus knew what was happening and what was about to happen. He told Judas to go and betray him. He knew the Pharisees wanted to kill him. He understood that evil was arrayed against him, yet he persevered. He allowed himself to be tortured and crucified. But even to the end, he cared about people. He cared about us. He gave the disciples a mandate. What was it? Love one another. Love one another. He put the centurion's ear back on him. After all the things that were done to him, he looked up from the cross and asked his Father to forgive. He was an amazing man, an amazing God. He is worthy, and we must worship him. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced.
Good singing, by the way. Choir rehearsals Wednesday night. Sharon's not ready for that quite yet, right? Emily, put the Luke passage up first for me, please. I'm going to go back a little bit to Friday before we come forward to Sunday. And you'll see the reason for that in a bit. We've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to be the body of Christ and go make disciples. Isn't that right? Am I making that up? Matthew 28, correct? There is a lot of hurting people around us who have no peace, who lack hope. Sin, which is rebellion against God, isn't dealt with in our lives, and it will always result in unrest, insecurity, doubt, and disappointment. Does anybody disagree with that? You know, sin's a funny thing because it feels good for a moment, but after it happens, you feel terrible, whether you admit it or not. And it really starts to work to erode us from the inside out. I want to look at the thieves on the cross and look at the resurrection through their eyes. All right? Let's read. I'm going to read this for you. I want to set the context. You realize that Jesus was crucified between two criminals, right? Okay, so you know the scene. This is from Luke. Two other men, both criminals, who were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing." And he divided up his garments. The people watching and the rulers sneered at him, and they said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God, the Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written note above him which read, "This is the Kingdom of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Isn't that great? You know,
he saved people
until then. Yeah, he sure did. And this shows, there's a couple of things happening here. First of all, it shows how fickle we can be, because before we believe the simple truth that Jesus came to die for our sins on the cross, many people wanted another miracle. If you say you are, save yourself. That's not why Jesus came. He came to save you and me. And we miss that. You know, we become blind to it. And listen, I want to suggest to you this morning that we are either going to be we're going to be one thief or another. When we're faced with the gospel and they were faced with Jesus, who was making atonement for their sin, a decision has to be made. One of the criminals just kept insulting Jesus, right? "If you're the king, save yourself." But the other one understood. He realized that Jesus did nothing wrong. He was not guilty of any crime. He was not guilty of any sin. Do you realize he went through three religious trials and three civil trials within a period of 8 hours when Judas betrayed him? Wow. That's a lot. And then the mocking. And yet Jesus, as James rightly said, was still saving people. The thief on the cross. Now listen, the thief on the cross didn't have a chance to clean up his act. Right? He was being executed to die. Jesus knew he was a criminal. But grace goes beyond what we did in the past. I am so grateful for that. Because he didn't have to do anything except by faith believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who came to save us. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and a lot of times when people talk to me, you know, they'll make excuses. We're good. You know, our sin nature is good at making excuses, and they'll say things like this to me. Well, you know, if this is true, well, I'll wait till I'm on my deathbed. The problem is, you don't know. There were people in the mall, South Carolina, they didn't know that it was going to be their last day. People in the subway, they didn't know that it was going to be their last day. People on the road who get into auto accidents, possibly the last day. I don't know how many days we have. Only God does. But I will tell you this, when we are face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are face to face with him now, you can only make one of two decisions. You can either mock him or receive him. And that's important because we unfortunately currently live in a culture that chooses to try to marginalize and cancel out Jesus. Not only does it choose to marginalize and cancel out Jesus, it wants to get rid of God too. You know, a couple of years back, I don't know if you remember this. There was a new coin, I think it was a dollar coin, that was minted, and you could not find on it "In God We Trust." You know where they put it? On the rim. So small, you could hardly see it. And there's been movements for many years now to get that off our money. Well, that's just another symptom of how we mock God. We mock God by saying that he created us the wrong gender, don't we? We mock God when we refuse to come and worship him. We mock God when we, listen, this is insanity. I had to undergo a test last month. And, you know, when you have to fill out the papers. It says, what was your gender at birth? And what do you identify as today? So me being a little bit sarcastic, I said, I was born a male, and I am still a male, and I always will be a male. I mean, the question just is infuriating. Have any of you come against that? Yeah, you will. It's infuriating to me how many times we can slap God and mock him and insult him. On Sunday mornings, sports fields and gyms are more packed than churches. On Sunday mornings, Walmart and Target, sorry, Emily, Walmart and Target are more packed than churches. On Sunday mornings, you can't find a parking spot in Perkins. right? You're laughing. It's true. You can't find a parking spot. And listen, we patronize Perkins, so we like it. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, Jesus rose on Sunday. It's a special day because of the resurrection. It's a special day, and yet we've made it another day where we just want to catch up on stuff. And we do stuff. My question is, what happened to Saturday? You know, I mean, and I guess I'm kind of spoiled. I grew up in Bergen County where they had the blue laws, and stores weren't open 24/7. Banks were closed on the weekends. We still got along. What happened? In Rutherford, you could not go on a sports field until 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. They would chase you. I tried it once. I tried playing ball with one of my friends. We went over about 11 o'clock. Within 15 minutes, the cops were there saying, "No, boys, it's not open yet. You have to go." We need to be careful. We need to recover the resurrection because it is that important. What if the resurrection didn't happen? I titled the message, "It's Easter, so what?" You know, you're going to get bunnies in the basket or, you know, peeps or, you know, whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I don't turn candy away, all right? However, it's not what Easter is about. It's about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come with me, if you would, to the next passage. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. I want you to kind of think, we talked a little bit about this morning. Put yourself in the sandals, if you will, of the apostles and the women who had been very loyal to Jesus up until Jesus was taken away. Then all the apostles except for John scattered because they were afraid. But the women hung in there. They hung in there, never shied away. So listen, guys, don't stone me after I say this. Scripture seems to indicate that women are more intuitive and more aware. Yeah, you can. You're going to get a gold medal for that one, I'm sure. I'm sure. But there's a certain sense where women are more intuitive. And listen, the other disciples except John ran because they thought they were going to be crucified, right? But the women didn't budge. They were there. So listen to this. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, the men didn't go. The disciples didn't go. And Jesus was very plain saying on the third day, he was going to raise himself from the dead. But the disciples didn't budge, right? Look at this. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled it back and sat on it. This always amazes me. There's in the other Gospels, the account's a little bit different, but it's the same thing, okay? You know the size of the rock they put in front of the tomb? Probably as big as this wall, and they rolled it, all right? And the ladies... Oh, it was circular, so they can roll it out of the way. Remember, it was sealed, correct? And guarded. The ladies, I'm sure, on the way down to the tomb were saying, "How are we going to move this thing?" They didn't really worry about it. How many times in life do we face situations that appear to be, from our perspective, insurmountable? And when we bring it to God, not only can he move a stone, he can move mountains. The ladies came, and I believe God rewarded the ladies for their faithfulness. And they had the earthquake, the angel rolled back the stone. And not only that, the angel sat on it. I would love to see that, right? He sat on it, and I can picture him and say, I want to see the reaction of these women. The angel's appearance was like lightning. His clothes were like were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. When you are in the presence of holiness, there's no place to go but down. I'm afraid we've lost that type of reverence in many churches. Because Jesus is here with us. They became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, I love this, do not be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen. Just as he said. And as the angel says, if you don't believe me, come and see the place where he lay. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened to the thief on the cross who asked Jesus to remember him in paradise if Jesus never resurrected from the dead? What would have happened? Nothing, right? I mean, he would never have realized paradise. This is how important the resurrection is to us. Without the cross and the resurrection, there's no hope. There is no hope. You realize the cross and the resurrection is why we're here today. You realize that's why we're here every Sunday. You realize that's why we do prayer meeting. That's why we do men's group. That's why we help out in the community, because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hope that never becomes old for us. Let me go on with this. Don't be afraid. Anybody know how many do not be afraid clauses are found in the Bible? 365. There's one for each day. Don't be afraid. Listen, I'm the worst worrier in the world. And I have to go back and look at this a lot. Don't be afraid. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Listen, Jesus always keeps his promises. Always. Just as he came the first time and he said he was going to be delivered up by sinful men and he took on sin of the world, nailed it to the cross so we might be saved when we trust in him, he kept all his promises. When was the last time you met somebody who kept all their promises? Certainly not in Washington. And in reality, certainly not us. There's times we fail. He is not here. He is risen. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Look at the reaction of the women. So the women hurried away. Listen to this, right? From the tomb, afraid, yet filled with what? Joy. And ran to tell his disciples. You know, they were afraid because they were just as confused as everybody else. However, you had the angel saying, look, don't be afraid. Yeah, you go tell your disciples. Jesus told them, by the way, before he died, that he would see them after the grave. And he says, and they're filled with joy because they know he's alive. They know he's alive. And he ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. I love that. Greetings, they said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. It was so gracious of Jesus to have that encounter with the women, with the angel. And now he says, you know what? I'm going to say hello myself. So you have Jesus resurrected in his resurrected body, still with the holes in his hands, the hole on the side where the sword went in, and the hole on his ankles where they nailed him to the cross. And he says, greetings. And they did the only thing they could. They clasped his feet and worshiped him. Despair was turned into hope and celebration just by this simple encounter, right? Then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Here we go again, right? Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now, that's where I ended the passage. I'll just fill you in on what happened a little bit on the end of this. The women went back and they said that Jesus was alive. They saw Jesus. And you know what the disciples did? Impossible. No. No, we don't believe you. You realize why they say that? Because in the culture of the time, a woman's word meant nothing. You couldn't even testify in court because you were considered a non-person. And now Jesus, in his grace, elevates the women to say, these are the ones who followed me right to the end. And they're going to be the first to see me. Well, of course, you have John, you have Peter, and the others saying, no, even Thomas. Thomas doubted for a long time, right? So John and Peter race to the tomb. If you look at that encounter, you quickly find out that when they went to the tomb, all they saw was the grave clothes of Jesus, untouched. And they came to the conclusion that he conquered the grave. They would never be the same again. Well, what about Thomas? Well, on the day of the resurrection, Jesus appeared then later in the day to the disciples, gave them comfort. Thomas wasn't there. And so when they saw Thomas again, probably the following day, they told Thomas of it, and Thomas said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see him. A week later, Jesus appears to the disciples and Thomas. And Thomas says, Lord, I want to put my finger in your wounds. And the Lord says, okay, Thomas. I don't know if he ever got to do it or not, but he finally came to his senses and knew Jesus conquered the grave. And he made one of the greatest proclamations in the Bible, my Lord and my God. And he went right down and worshiped. Then Jesus says, you're blessed because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have never seen me but still believe. That's where we come in. We have the greatest message in the world. The message that Jesus conquered sin, the grave, and Satan. That he frees people from the bondage of sin. Forgives their sin, past, present, and future. Not only does he forgive, but he will give us new life. His life from the inside out. And new purpose. Isn't it great when testimonies vary as far as how people came to Christ, but how great is it when somebody who committed a crime gets saved in jail and comes to Christ? And when they're released, if they're released, you can see it in their lives. How great is it when a drug addict comes to Christ and Christ releases him from the addiction? How great is it when a husband and a wife have been at each other's throats and they come to Christ and they start to really love one another as Christ loved them? I mean, we can't forget these stories. They're more than stories. These are true stories. We need to recover the purpose of the resurrection as a church. Next week, I'm going to be starting a series in Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches. And those letters speak a lot to us today. These were real churches back in Jesus' time, after the resurrection, by the way. So we're going to start to look at that. We did that at the round table. It was really great discussions. So the reason why I'm doing this, just so you know, I believe that the American church is in trouble. If the American church isn't in trouble, then why aren't we seeing the church be the church? So we're going to explore those letters together. You know, on some of them, it may take 2 weeks, so it's to be continued. But come, we're going to start that next week. And in Sunday school, I don't even remember what I said I was going to do. I know what I was going to do. In Sunday school, we're going to look at why church is so important. The doctrine of church from Scripture. All right? I hope, this is my personal prayer, I hope before the Lord calls me home, whenever that is, that I will be able to see him send the move of the Holy Spirit to revive his churches. We desperately need revival in this country. That's my Easter prayer. Do you know when the churches are in revival, you know the crime rate goes down? When the churches are in revival, people start to see miracles. When the churches are in revival, you can't get enough of the Scriptures and being in the presence of Jesus. That's what we need. But until then, our God reigns. Amen? I'm going to ask our music people to come forward. Our God reigns. Whether people understand it or not, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He reigns. Before he comes back again, here's how the kingdom is spread. One heart at a time. When people receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit indwells us and the kingdom of God is within us. It's amazing. It's biblically true. One heart at a time. And let me just end with this. You realize that the kingdom of Jesus was not obtained with force. Did you ever know a king that became king without the use of force? That's what wars were all about, right? Jesus' kingdom is based on one thing, his love for sinners. That's it. His love for sinners. It's a kingdom built on love. It's a kingdom built on relationship of getting right with God through Jesus Christ. And then when he comes back again, and he will, I can tell you this, we're one day closer. But when he comes back again, the scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know if I'll be around for this, but I'd like to see how CNN will explain the rapture of the church. And I'd like to see how they would explain this man coming out of the clouds, sitting on a white horse, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, coming down to earth to establish his kingdom. It's going to happen because Jesus keeps his word. Chip? Dismiss in the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Father, for many, today is a day, Father, we share with family and friends. And so I pray you bless those times. May it be a day of reflection, a day of thankfulness, a day where we remember our Savior and the gift of our salvation. Father, would you dismiss us in the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming that our Lord conquered the grave. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Not bad for a small group. God bless you. Happy Easter. You're dismissed.